AngloGold Ashanti has delivered double-digit growth in the first half. That's as it reported a 21% rise in headline earnings per share. Factors that contributed to the improved performance include lower costs and a solid performance from the group's Kibali joint venture. And joining me now on the line to discuss these numbers in detail is CEO Kelvin Dushnisky. Kelvin, thanks so much for your time today. So since the end of your first half period, we've seen the gold price move even higher, jumping above the $1,500 an ounce level. Does this give you any pause when it comes to your strategy in terms of asset sales?
Well, hi, Bron. First of all, thank you very much for having me on your program today. Not at all in terms of any change in our focus or direction in relation to the rising gold price. Of course, nobody's more pleased to see the increase in gold price. We're very highly leveraged to it, as you know. But as far as the divestments that we've outlined, you know, there's a strategic purpose to them, and they make sense for us to proceed, and we've seen, you know, strong interest in the various assets that we have for divestment, and so those processes will continue. Of course, one thing that we've been very clear on is no fire sales. So if we don't see bids that represent what we believe to be full value, we're completely happy to continue running the assets, but at this point, we'll let the processes play through.
Okay, so we're going to get into the detail of that in just a bit, but if it doesn't change your strategy going forward, it certainly does give you some breathing room on your balance sheet. So just how much breathing room to perhaps whittle away at your debt pile, perhaps?
Yeah, well, listen, you're absolutely right. We're pleased with the balance sheet, although, as we've indicated, we set a target to be at 1x net debt to EBITDA through the cycle. Pleased to report at the end of the quarter that we've moved down to 1.2 times. And as we continue through the second half of this year, if gold price stays supportive and we continue to generate cash as we expect, we'll continue to chip away at the balance sheet. We ended the quarter with $342 million in cash on hand as well. So we're pleased with that. We'll continue to work on the balance sheet. But one thing that's really important, we're pleased with the gold price, you know, hovering around $1,500 is terrific, but it doesn't change our approach to how we're running the business. We're going to maintain our discipline, our focus on costs. We've put a strict capital allocation criteria in place, so we won't invest in anything unless we see a 15% after-tax return, and that's using a $1,200 gold price. It doesn't matter if gold goes to $1,500 or $1,600 now.
So strict discipline, the name of the game as you continue to execute your strategy. So let's go back to those asset sales, because that's really what is going to whittle away at your debt pile and give your balance sheet a lot of breathing room. You're looking at selling your remaining South African assets and your holdings in Argentina and Mali. What has appetite been like? Because one would imagine that this is a bit of a buyer's market, if we can call it that, given that there are others like Barrick who are also looking to sell assets?
Well, it's interesting because my experience has been that there's a different universe of buyer for every asset, and we're seeing that in the various processes that we've announced. The most recent is the process around the South African business, as you correctly indicated. We're seeing very strong interest. We opened the data room last month, and over the last 2 weeks, and they're continuing, we've been having the management presentations at a very strong level of interest. So, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We're going to go through the process, and for these assets like the others, we'll be disciplined. If we see bids that represent what we believe to be full value, then we'll move forward with them. And if not, we're perfectly happy to continue running the assets ourselves.
Kelvin, I know you've been very cagey on a timeline regarding the disposal of the assets, specifically the South African assets, but I have to ask, because some analysts are hopeful enough to assume that the asset sales could go ahead as early as in the second half. Are they right in being that positive about the timeline?
Well, first of all, Bronwyn, I'm not intending to be cagey, but these processes, there's a natural cadence to these, and it depends on the level of diligence by prospective bidders and so forth. It's certainly, I would expect as we move through the second half of the year, and particularly with our Q3 results, I'll be in a position to give a better update. And is it possible that we could conclude on a transaction in the second half of the year? Yes. But I don't want to handicap that. We'll let it take a normal course. We're going to be very thorough. And it will depend on the level of information exchange and diligence that prospective buyers want to do. So I'm not trying to be evasive, but I just don't want us to get ahead of ourselves as far as the process goes.
Okay, we'll have to catch up with you when those developments happen then. But what the asset sale does allow you to do is focus your attention on other assets in your stable, particularly one in particular, I should say, is Obuasi in Ghana and the reopening of that mine. You say that you're on track for that to happen by year end, but you remarked in the analyst call this morning that it is going to be tight. So what kind of stumbling blocks could scupper your plans to keep that tight timeline going?
Well, you're absolutely right. Obuasi is a key focus and a key deliverable for us this year. There are two phases to Obuasi. One is a refurbishment stage of the original development, and the second is a new development largely associated with the underground work. And we're on track. We've always indicated that the first gold pour for year-end is a tight timeline, but we're still on track for it. But more importantly, that's kind of the first of two timelines. And the key one for us is as we move through 2020, we ramp up production from 2,000 tons a day to 4,000 tons a day to the end of 2020, and then we hit that kind of consistent run rate in 2021 and beyond. So we've got a little more flexibility in the schedule, in fact, in 2020 as we ramp up to full production, and that's really the key. But at the same time, you know, we're going to work hard to hit that that target of first gold pour at the end of the year. So far we're on track, but it is a tight timeline.
Kelvin, thanks so much for your time today. We are unfortunately out of time, so we have to leave it there. That was the CEO of AngloGold Ashanti, Kelvin Dushniski.